So we've begun this moving process, and I forgot how much I loathe moving. Right? I don't like the process of moving. I don't like having to, you know, pack everything up, put it in a truck, drive it someplace, unpack it, try to figure out where everything goes. I know through the years, we've been married now almost 22 years. And before you say, I thought you were 22, we've been married almost 22 years. And our first moves were in the back of a pickup truck. Our last move, even though we moved just like maybe half a mile away, was in 2 24-foot moving trucks. And it is amazing how much you accumulate and how much you accumulate that you don't use, right? I mean, we're going through that process right now because that's what you have to do. You have to eliminate things that you don't need or you don't use. You know, in my closet, I have a clothes about this wide hanging clothes that I wear. And then I have clothes about this wide that I don't wear. You know, they're clothes like suits and suit pants and ties and shirts. And I have my graduation gown. Why do I have my graduation gown? I have hockey jerseys from when I played roller hockey. And I'm like, I don't wear those things. I'm not going to wear those things. But, you know, they say Tippy on the back. Who wants them? You know, but we have that stuff. We got to get rid of them. So our job yesterday was the toy closet. The toy closet becomes just like the junk drawer, right? And like we have a junk drawer, which became two junk drawers because not enough. We have too much junk to fit in one drawer. But then things bleed over into other things. Well, the toy closet became that. And so we started that process of looking at what we have and getting rid of things. You know, looking at the games and what do we have all the pieces of the games. And yesterday, Melinda and Dathan, they were counting out the pieces of Stratego. And we had two of them. We have two games of Stratego. One of them didn't have all the pieces, but we made sure we had one with all the pieces. We had two Monopolies, the exact same Monopoly. We have other Monopolies, but the exact same Monopoly. There was only one problem. We had no money for Monopoly. Like, where did that go, you know? Where did that go? We had Scrabble without pieces. Anyway, like one of the things that we had to go through, and we did this a little bit earlier, was go through the puzzles. And like, I love puzzles. We've done puzzles growing up, and I do a puzzle every year, and they're big and hard and complicated, and I like that. But you know, you start with a puzzle that has handles on the pieces. You know, like a puddler for toddlers. And we still have one, and it's a bear. I'm not sure why we have it, because I don't need handles anymore. But we start with that. All the pieces are perfectly formed for the section that it goes into, and it fits perfectly. And if it's not the right piece, it doesn't fit. And then you get the bigger pieces, and I have pieces or puzzles of 1,500, and the pieces are tiny, and they're meant to drive you crazy. But imagine doing one of those puzzles where it came in a plain cardboard box. Like, the thing about a puzzle is that you get the key. You get what it's supposed to look like. And if you don't have that, imagine doing a puzzle like that. Like, I know I would totally get frustrated and I'd eventually give up. I'd eventually just quit and say, all right, I am not going to get this thing together. I don't have the time to put into it. See, I believe this is exactly what happens in many of our families. We lack a good picture to look at. I mean, we might have all the pieces. We might have all the pieces, but we don't really know how they all fit together to form the picture or to form the vision of what it's supposed to be. So today we're closing our series called Some Assembly Required. It's a series about family. It's a series that talks about things that we need to build a family. It's a lot of work. Family is a lot of work. And so just like Mr. Potato Head, where you have to put the pieces in, just like that, we have to put the pieces together in our families. The pieces might be there, but we have to know where they go. So I want to talk about the picture your family is aiming at. What is the vision for your family? Because with that picture, With that picture in front of you, you as a parent can begin to ask the right questions. Begin to ask questions like, how do I lead my kids? Having a picture of what God is calling you to as a family, what is God is calling your family toward, will help you place the pieces where they're supposed to go. So I want to start by reading Proverbs 29:18. It's a familiar passage. When I read it, you will know you have heard it before. But I'm going to read it from several different versions here because I think it gives a great picture of why this is so important. So let me read. And first of all, in King James Version, I've heard someone call it the Uncle Jimmy Version. In Uncle Jimmy Version, it says, where there is no vision, the people perish. Where there is no vision, the people perish. That's something we have heard before. Where there's no vision, people perish. In the New International Version, it says, where there is no revelation, people cast off restraint. In the New Living Translation, it says, when people do not accept divine guidance, they run wild. In the New American Standard, where there is no vision, the people are unrestrained. And I love what the Message says. The Message translation or paraphrase says, if people can't see what God is doing, they stumble all over themselves. If people can't see what God is doing, they stumble all over themselves. So it's like going to a theme park, right? I love theme parks. Going to Cedar Point. Imagine if there were no lines, right? Imagine if there was no lines and what would happen there. You know, it's like going to a concert where they don't have things organized very well and just there's a mass of people go up there. You know, like when we went to Disney for the first time or the only time, what I noticed is how well everything was organized, you know? It's like the lines and everything was so organized. But if you don't have that, it's just chaos. It's just absolute chaos. Where there is no vision, people stumble all over themselves. They stumble all over themselves. If we don't know where God is leading us or what he's leading us towards. There's no vision, people perish. But having a vision of what should be gives you hope for what can be. Having a vision of what should be, having that picture of what should be gives you hope of what can be. So how do you cast the vision of what God would have for your family? How do you paint that picture? I'm going to give you three questions that you can answer these three questions and that will help you get that picture. I also provided them for you on a piece of paper near you. There's a half sheet of paper, and on one side it talks about the questions, and the other side it's something else. But the first question that we need to ask is, who are we? Who are we? This is a question of identity. I mean, before you go any further into this process, you have to nail this down because who you are reflects why you do what you do and then how you do what you do. Right? It all starts there. It all starts with who you are. It starts with you. So think about our level 13 family. And that's what we are. We've always called that. We are a family. Who are we? Well, we're the body of Christ. We are the people of God. We are the church. Remember, the church is not a building. The church is not a place that you attend. It's not something we do. It's a people we get to be. The church is a people. It's you. It's me. It's us. It's the people. That is the church. More specifically, here at Level 13, we are a church that believes that we have been freed to become fully devoted followers of Christ. We have been freed. This relationship that we have with Jesus frees us from our past, frees us from our sins, frees us from the shackles that our culture puts us in, frees us from the boundaries or the cubicles that people put us in. We have been freed to become fully devoted followers of Christ. That means that we have been freed to become more like Jesus. You know, and I remember way back when we first started this church, we talked about that and talked about how our aim is to be like Jesus. And someone says, well, you'll never be like Jesus. Well, that's fine. I get it. We will not attain perfection like Jesus in this lifetime. But we got to aim for it. Right? I mean, like Jesus came to earth to give us an example. We have to aim for that. We have to aim for who he is and our character and everything in us. We aim to be like Jesus. We want to be fully devoted followers of Christ. And because of that, we exist to do everything we can, to do everything we can to provide an opportunity for every man, for every woman, and for every child to hear and respond to the gospel. Provide an opportunity for everyone we meet to hear and respond to the person of Jesus. That's who we are as a church. That is who we are as Christians. And we try everything that we can. Try everything that we can so that someone can hear Jesus, can hear about Jesus, can see who Jesus is. It happens in the way that we live. It happens in the things that we do. Everything that we can so every man, woman, and child in Fort Wayne has an opportunity to hear and respond, because we know when we respond, it changes everything. I mean, you can see how this plays out. We have been freed so that we can offer freedom to anyone and everyone. So in the same way, who you are as a family will affect why and how you do what you do. We all need a vision for our family. We all need a vision for our family. I mean, looking at the members of your family, ask this: who are they? And I'm not talking about what roles they play. I'm not talking about what they do, but who are they? And ultimately, the number one question that needs to be answered is, are they a child of God? Is Jesus Lord of their life? I mean, you can ask that of yourself first. Is Jesus Lord of my life? It's where the vision starts. Is Jesus Lord of my child's life? It's important. Why? Because it's the one thing that doesn't change when we're hit with tragedy. It's the one thing that doesn't change when life gets hard. So one thing that doesn't change when things don't go the way we want them to go, when we're faced with something that seems insurmountable, the fact that I'm a child of God, the fact that I have been freed, that doesn't change. By God's grace, by the grace of God, I will be a husband to Melinda until the day I die. By God's grace, I will be the father of three amazing, gracious, fun, frustrating children who are all different, by the way, who are completely different from each other. But by the grace of God, I will be their dad until I die. By the grace of God, whether I'm in an awesome city like Fort Wayne or I'm in a little Podunkville town called Fairmount, where they seem to worship James Dean more than they do Jesus, by God's grace, I will be able to love people and help them find freedom in Jesus as a minister of the gospel. By God's grace, I will do that until I die. However, the reality is that all of those things could change with one stupid decision, one moment of tragedy. But what is constant, what is true, what is lasting, is that I am a child of the one true King. And that's not going to change. He will never leave me or forsake me. He will never leave you or forsake you. He is for you. So we ask our question, who am I? Who am I? Ask that of your family. What is the identity? What is your identity as a family? The answer to that question informs what you hope for, informs what we believe for, informs what we pray for. I mean, if your child has not yet said yes to Jesus, then you better be on your knees praying that he or she sees Jesus, finds Jesus, lives for Jesus. Who are we? Our identity. It points us in the direction we need to go, and then we can ask, how is God going to help us get there? I mean, he's already wired us in that way. Part of finding our identity is finding what our natural gifts and talents are. What has he placed in us? And it's not just me, right? I don't need to just find that out for me, but I need to know what it is for my wife. I need to know what it is for my children. How will God use them to run after the vision that he has given our family? I mean, we might have thought of that for ourselves, but what about everyone else? Have you ever asked God to show you why he brought you all together? God has wired each of your children in a way to complement each other as a family. He has wired you and your spouse to complement each other as a family. He has wired this church to complement each other as a family. So Melinda and I are alike in a lot of ways, but we're very, very different in other ways. Let me give you an example. Yesterday, we declared on Friday, this was a work day. We're in this process of moving, and so there's a lot of things that we need to get done on the house. A lot of little things that we need to do, a couple big things that we need to do. And so we're like, okay, we're just going to start knocking all of these things out. So Melinda asked me in the morning, she asked me, what do you want me to do this morning? And I said, I want you to paint the toy closet. Right? That's it. That's what I want you to do. So let me tell you what I did yesterday. I got up in the morning, I went to Starbucks and drank good coffee and finished my message for today. After that, I went home for lunch, and then after lunch, I made the list of everything I need to get to fix everything in the house to make it all ready to sell. So then I went to Menards, and I was there for a couple hours because I went in, and then I went back out, forgot something, went in, and went back out, and I forgot something, and went in, and went back out like 3 times. I went to 3 different registers, though, so they didn't think I was dumb or crazy, so... But I did that, and I went to Menards. I got home, and I had this trim. I'm replacing the trim on the baseboard, and so I painted that trim. And then I got the ladder, and then I painted the living room, and I painted the high parts. We have a cathedral ceiling, and so we had to try to get up to those high parts, and I'm trying not to die and hanging on and painting all of these areas, painting the stairs. And so I did that, and then I replaced the fan switch because it hasn't worked in, like, 4 years. Well, you fix all these things when you're moving, you know. I don't know what it is. We redid our kitchen when we're moving. So we'll not enjoy those things. So I had to fix the little pull chain thing from Reagan's fan because she pulled it right out. And so I had to buy in the little new unit, and I got that together. And then I had to replace the fire smoke detector thing. I have these 2 skylights where the paint has come off and scraped off, and so I had to go up and I had to scrape it, and then I had to mud it, and so I did all that. And then I actually helped paint the closet just a little bit, and Melinda's back here going like this, because, see, here's the deal. So I did all of these things because I'm a project guy. Right? Anybody else a project guy? Like you get a project and you're like, okay, I want to nail this project. I want to get it done, and now I'm going to go for it. I'm a project guy. I like to be done with a project and say, I did that, right? Well, Melinda's she's different. She's a plotter, you know? She works at it and then works at it and then gets distracted and does something else and then goes back and works at it and works at it and then gets distracted, then goes plays football in the yard with Corbin. And then, but I will say, by 9 o'clock, her project was done at night, 9 o'clock at night, you know? But I'm not like that. We're just different. We are different, and that's a really good thing. We complement each other in that way. You could all look at your spouse and say, I am the same in you as you here, but I'm very different as you here. And that's a good thing, right? That's a really good thing. We're the same, but yet we are different. In fact, that's what makes us great together. And then you mix in the kids, right? We got to figure out what our kids are good at. I mean, you mix in the kids, and that's like a recipe for success of a family. Or if we are intentional, it's a recipe for disaster. And so we look at what our kids are good at. I mean, our kids, one thing our kids are really good at is Netflix. Man, if that could be a job, we are set up, man. We are set up. But no, they're good at different things. They're good at different things, and that's a really good thing because God has put us together to complete the picture, the vision that he has for our family. We complement each other. See, where I am weak, Melinda's strong. Where I'm strong, Melinda could be weak. Or our kids pick it up there. So it reminds me of the great Rocky Balboa, and when he talks about Adrian, he says, I got gaps. She's got gaps, but together, we got no gaps. See, it is no secret in my family that I got gaps. No secret. Mel's got gaps. Dathan's got gaps. Reagan's got gaps. We've worked hard orthodontically to close those gaps, but Corbin's got gaps. But together as a family, if we lean in and are intentional with what God has called us and what he's gifted us to, we got no gaps. Who are the people in your family? What are their gifts and talents? How has God uniquely wired them to fill the gaps in your family? Finding our identity is the first step as we move toward a vision for our family. Secondly, what do you value? This is a question of importance. What's really important in your life, in your family? What are the non-negotiables? I mean, these are the things that you will be about. That there's no question, this is what we're going to be about. They will become your GPS. Because as you consistently lean into these things, they'll bring you closer to your destination. It will guide you. These values guide you. So as a church, what do we value as a church? Here's our six core values. First, missionary mentality. We want to be a missionary here. We want to go into our community and be a missionary. We want to do whatever we can so that every man, woman, and child has an opportunity to hear and respond to the gospel. So the courtyard that's coming up three times this summer, it's a way we can be a missionary in our hometown. Giving donuts, right, to the people at the bus stop is a way you can be a missionary. It's a way you can share Jesus' love in just a simple way. You can be a missionary in your community. In your neighborhood, you be a missionary. That is something that we value and that we should value as Christ followers. Secondly, prayerful dependence. We need to be passionately dependent on God for his direction. So we have a prayer time every Tuesday. It is something that we have to be about as a church. When we're not about that, we stumble all over ourselves. Prayerful dependence. Thirdly, Christ-centered worship. Christ-centered worship. We want to be Christ-centered in everything that we do. And we have the expectation. I have this expectation every Sunday morning when I come in here for worship. I have an expectation that I will meet a living God. I will meet a living Jesus who is active, who speaks, who is moving and wants to move me. And be Christ-centered in our worship and be passionate about our worship. And I'm just telling you, man, I believe this is something that God has gifted us in. I mean, I don't know about you guys, but man, I feel like our God has led our band and Woody and Beth and our singers and everything. Man, they knock it out of the park. They knock it out of the park. We had a couple here this morning who was just visiting, and they're from another Wesleyan church, and we're in the parking lot, I said, well, let me just tell you a little bit about us before you walk in these doors. We're a young church, right? And what I mean by that, I mean we are a loud church. We're loud. And that's a good thing. I wouldn't have it any other way, right? If I can hear myself sing, it's not loud enough because nobody else wants to hear me sing. And some of you are the same way. But we want to be Christ-centered in our worship. We want to have authentic community. We will be a church that is safe for people who aren't perfect. In fact, if you feel like you are perfect, you should probably find another place, right? It is obvious we're not perfect. It's obvious we're not perfect, and that is an awesome thing. But we also want to be strong enough to be centered on the way God has called us to live. Right? We might not be perfect, but God might say, all right, he might be saying, we might need to eliminate this in our life. Because he wants us to live in a way that represents him and his glory. We want to be creative. We're called to worship God and love others by speaking truth and proclaiming hope through artistic originality, through compelling narrative, and dynamic creativity. We want to be creative in everything. We want everything to look creative. Because that's the way God has made us. And then finally, ministry multiplication. We believe healthy things reproduce healthy things. Believers reproduce believers. Disciples reproduce disciples. Leaders reproduce leaders. And churches reproduce churches. That's who we are. It's a value that we want to reproduce ourselves as a church. And as a disciple, as a follower of Jesus, a value ought to be to reproduce myself. What God has made in me and what he's taught me, I need to tell somebody about it. Because he has changed me. He has made me something different. He has made me something new. And it's not something we hold on to if we're healthy. If we're healthy, we don't hold on to it. We let it go. Let God do what he wants with it. I mean, these are the values that help us make a decision as a church. Those six things. What are your values as a family? What are the non-negotiables? What runs your home? Maybe a good way to start is by removing the negative values. The negative things that we have brought in based on our past or whatever it may be. Sometimes we need to remove those things, like anger, like pain. Maybe it's greed, selfishness. Those don't help make a family. I mean, because let's be honest, if our families are based on all these negative things, these negative values, it's not going to last. It'll eventually break apart. So what do you value? We've even given you a little kickstart to the conversation on the other side of that paper. There's just some values. I mean, that's just a little bit of generic stuff. And I'm not saying you cannot be a family of all of those things. But pick some of those things that are just non-negotiable. But this is who we are going to be about. Like, we will be a family who respects each other. We will be a family of discovery. Finding new ways for God to do something in our life. We'll be a family that is generous. Right? These are all like part of God's character. And we want to be generous in everything. We want to be sacrificial. We want to be a serving family. Like, help yourself as a family by determining your values. It's so important. It's so important. Because a family who seeks to build a kingdom culture is committing to knowing who they are and what they value. In fact, the passage that we have stuck with throughout this whole series, it's what Deuteronomy 6 is all about. Deuteronomy 6, starting in verse 4, it says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might." That this is who we are. Like, we are someone who loves God with everything that we have. He says, "In these words that I command you today shall be on your heart." Not just a list of things, but they should be part of you. And then he says, "And make sure your kids know it. Make sure they know that this is important to you." You shall teach them diligently to your children, shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Let the world know what you value, who you are, and then finally, what plan he has for you. The last question is, where are we going? And it's a question of vision. It's a picture. What's the picture? What's on the front of your puzzle box, your family puzzle box? Because you identified the pieces. You know, the way I do a puzzle, you learn who you are. You take the pieces, you take the corner pieces, you take the side pieces, and then the middle pieces all get separated. And then in the middle pieces, you separate them between sky and clouds and cars and whatever it is, houses. You put them together in themes. But you got to see the picture in order to move forward. See, the problem is so many get that backwards. They have no picture of where they're going. It's a lot like jumping in a car and driving around with no destination in mind. You know, I don't know. I mean, who does that? Melinda's parents, every once in a while, they're like, hey, you want to go for a drive? I'm like, where? And they do that. I mean, they probably do it at least once a week where they just drive around. Just drive around. I'm like, but where are you going? You know, they don't understand their smartphones to where that even gives them the GPS, probably. They just drive around. I mean, and I'm all for adventure, right? I'm all for adventure. But there's no way I can do that every day. I mean, eventually I'm just like, no. Well, let's go. We got something to do, you know? We got something to do. If we have no picture, it's like driving around with nothing. No GPS, right? No destination in mind. It's going to get frustrating. Frustration will set in. Conflict sets in, or in some cases, an all-out war. Because every piece of the puzzle is trying to fight for their piece, their place. Every piece of the puzzle in your family will fight for their place. Because we're human. We want to be known. I've seen it all too often that a young couple starts a family and they never take the time to ask who they are. In fact, many young couples, they don't even think they are a family until they have kids. I'm like, no, you are a family. You too, you're a family. You don't need kids to make yourself a family. You're a family. You need to have a vision. Even when you're first married, have a vision of where you're going. Have a picture of what God wants for you based on how you're wired. Unfortunately, many never begin to build the picture of what the destination might look like, so eventually they quit. Because without a clear picture of who you are, what's important, and where you're headed, you have nothing to rally the troops around. So since I don't have too long to get all of my sports analogies in, I want to give you another sports analogy today. And I'm going to give you one. It's just like a random one, right? It's like from a random coach giving a little pep talk to his team. I don't know where they're from or anything, but let's take a watch and listen.
Hi, y'all. Hammer time. Defense, what did I tell you yesterday? Okay, two of the most powerful things in this world are hope and belief. Plain and simple. If you believe in your heart that we're going to take the field and we're going to fight for four quarters, it's going to happen. You believe in your heart that you've put in the time, you've put in the effort, you have prepared yourself for this game, then it's going to be a good game. That's what it starts with. If you don't believe, the door's right there. Because I believe. I believe in everything that you have done to put yourself in a position to be a great football player that has a great game tonight. I believe you have worked to to make yourself everything you are. I believe that tonight you have the opportunity to take them to the wire. But you have to believe. Nobody else in this state does. You understand me? Everybody else has taken their little marker and they've already written the result of this game down. Not us. You hope that you get an opportunity to make a play. And you believe with every ounce of your being that when that opportunity comes, you will make it. Some point tonight, adversity strikes, but we strike back. Because we believe in here, in what we are, what we are capable of, and how tonight is going to go. You understand me?
Yes, sir.
Four quarters. Every time they blow the whistle, every time they put the ball down, we believe that this is the play. This is the play that we make a difference. This is the play where we put them on their back. This is the play we get in the end zone. This is the play that we get a stop. Believe with all your heart. Believe in yourself. Believe in each other. And believe that in four quarters, we're going to walk in this locker room, we're going to crank the music up, and we're going to dance.
I don't know about you guys, man, but that gets me jacked up, right? Like, I know I like sports, and that's just kind of my thing, but, you know, I wish I had this every day, you know? Well, actually, what if we did this in our families? What if tomorrow morning you went into your kid's room, and you're just like, you just give them the talk, right? What if you did that to your wife? How do you think that would go? Today is the day you're going to get that closet painted. We can do this thing. Come on. Because tonight we're going to dance. I mean, it had everything in it, right? And like he said, this is what you're good at. This is how you've been working. This is who you are. We're going to outwork everybody because that's who we are. And then we're going to have the opportunity for each play to fulfill the ultimate picture, to win the game. See, level 13. I believe. I believe that 12 years ago, God had in his mind what was going to happen this summer. I believe that. And I believe that he has put the people together, the family members together, the leaders together. I believe that with all of my heart. This is just another opportunity to get to the destination that he has for us, the picture that he has for us. And it's going to be a lot of hard work. And just like in that game, there's going to be some people that are going to get throttled, right? Might be some concussions, I don't know. But I believe with all of my heart. What is it for your family? What is it for your family? What's your vision? What's the picture God is leading you to? Because my guess is it's way bigger than what you can think about. Our minds don't think like God's. Our picture isn't exactly his picture. But as we lean in and as we step into this thing, he will reveal it to us. So here's my suggestion. As a couple, if you're married as a couple, I want you to get away with your spouse for a purpose. You can add other purposes, but I want this purpose to be in there. If you're a single parent, I want you to get with somebody, maybe another single parent, maybe somebody who isn't a single parent but could help you talk through these things. Because you're a family. If you are a young couple, get with another young couple. Right? If you don't have any kids, you're a family. Talk about these things. And here's my suggestion. I want you to take a look at 6 or 7 areas, and I even have them there on your sheet, that will help you paint the picture for your family. Ask the questions, where are we going, and where do we want to be in a couple areas? One, spiritually. Where do we want to be spiritually? Where do we want to be relationally, like our relationships and our family? Where do we want to be in friendships, like with our friends? Where do we want to be education-wise? You know, yesterday was a pretty legit thing happened. That in the mail, Melinda received her diploma. Her diploma for her master's degree, right? And I got my master's of divinity to just get it and get it done, right? I aimed for a B, that's just it. If I didn't quite get it, that was okay. If I got a little bit better, that was okay too. Melinda got like a 3.7 on a 4-point scale. Incredible, right? She never saw that in all of her education years before that. But God was leading her to something, leading our family to something, and she did it. It's amazing. What's your plan for education? What about finances? Financially, what's the picture look like? Fun. Like having fun together, having a family game night, a movie night, whatever it is. What are you doing that's fun together? Get on the trampoline, whatever it is. What's that picture? And then finally, intimacy. I'm not just talking about sex. I'm talking about intimacy, connection. How are we going to do that? What's the picture? So as a family, level 13, we talked about who we are. We are a family. We think we need to look at what we're good at individually, what God has gifted each individual with, because that's a piece to the puzzle, that without the puzzle's not complete. Are we allowing God to use the gifts that he has given us to help this church collectively reach its picture, its vision? What is the picture God is calling us to? I believe he's revealing it. He is. Even in this process, he's revealing where we are going as a church. And I'm just, and maybe I've said this before, but I'm always going to say we, because I'm part of this family. I'm always going to be part of this family. My family's always going to be part of this family. This will always be my church. What's our vision? God's revealing it. It's going to happen. Let's pray. Father, it's amazing to me that throughout history, throughout looking at your word, you didn't just kick your people out there and say, figure it out. That all along the way, you showed them and you gave them different things to do. You showed them who they are. You showed them constantly who you are. You constantly called them back to the vision that you had for them. And God, I know that hasn't stopped. That you're still calling your people to the vision that you have for them. You're calling this church to the vision you have for this church. You're calling each person in this church to be a part of the vision that you have for this church. And as each individual leans in to what you've gifted them with, we can be whole as a church. As a church, we lean in to what you have gifted us collectively with. And we can be a part of your picture of the big church. All of the churches, all of the people together. But Father, we know it starts with this one question. It starts with the one question. Have we allowed Jesus to be Lord of our life? So, Father, I pray right now, if there's somebody here today that hasn't made that decision, that today it starts, because then you start to reveal their place in the kingdom of God. Thank you for what you're doing. Help us to lean in. Help us to listen. help us to act on what we hear. Pray all this in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen.